Professor, without knowing precisely what the danger is, would you say it's time for our viewers to crack each other's heads open and feast on the goo inside?
Yes, I would,
Captain. Excuse me, Kermit. May I speak with you?
Sure, Sam. What you want?
I think you know why I am here.
Well, actually, Sam, to tell you the truth, I've never known why you're here.
I feel my job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
You got your work cut out for you, Bird.
Now that was unwholesome. That was not cultural.
We've brought Kent on board to get an inside look at the future of America. Kent is the classic American youth, energetic and resourceful, spoiled, perverse, and disturbed. Would you say that's an accurate description, Kent?
Yep, sure.
Yeah, what do you call that haircut?
I don't know. Rock and roll.
Are you high right now, Kent?
Am I high?
Are you on drugs, or is this your naturally moronic self? Watch the drool, getting it all over the console.
I can't believe I'm here, man. Hey, but does this thing really work?
You're sitting in a radio station, Kent. You're sitting in front of a live mic. When you speak, thousands of people hear your voice. It penetrates their minds.
I want to send that one out to Diamond Dave and Billy the bass player and all the babes at the Valley View Mall.
we're discussing America here tonight, Kent. Do you have any thoughts on that subject?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I broke your train of thought. Please keep going. This is exhilarating.
No, it's not like I'm not political or nothing, you know? I mean, I like Bruce. He's political.
Bruce Springsteen, yes, a very deep political thinker. He's a communist, isn't he?
No, he's from New Jersey.
His ex is pretty nice up there.
Mm-hmm. Who's ex?
Bruce's.
Bruce Springsteen's wife, yes, what about her?
Julianne. Hi, Julianne. She was a model. You know that bear? All those guys got models, Bear. I mean, Mick and Jerry, you know, Keith, Patty, and Prince. Prince. Well, you know, Bear, models hang around with guys they think are coolest. Look at you, man. You're a big guy, a famous star and all. And I mean, you got that fine babe right over there who works for you, man. So, hey, if you got some cash and you're cool, you get to have a model.
So you wouldn't call yourself a women's liber then, Kent, huh?
Yeah, I would, Bear. I mean, everybody being liberated, you know, women, South Africans, all those kind of people, you know. I mean, I saw a show about all that stuff, you know, about how, like, you know, revolution's a pretty important thing, you know. You're going to have a lot more revolutions when people get together, you know, and solidarity and that, and... You know, like that song by Megadeth? Pistols, but it was buying! Pistols, but it was buying! Hey, plus...
Who won't be able to stop it, Kent?
Big brother? Government? Corporations? I mean, they're a bunch of fascists. You know, they want to control everybody's mind. I mean... But hey, freedom's an important thing, just like you always say, Bear. You say the best things, Bear. Listen to you all the time, man. You're great.
Kent, you're an idiot. I sincerely hope you do not represent the future of this country, because if you do, we are in sad shape.
Man, you're so funny, man. That's why I love to listen to your show. That's why all the kids listen to you, man. Plus, you know, these goons push you around. You know, all the kids listen to you, Bear. You are the best thing on the radio!
Kent, we discuss a lot of serious subjects on this show. Sad things.
People killing people and babies starving and floods and for what? For nothing. For beer commercials and Tampax ads. MTV, a yacht in the ocean, a diamond earring, a racehorse. Well, I guess so. All I know is what I read in the papers. And that's a lot of talk. Barry, it's talk.
chalk.
Ralph, tell me something. I'm curious. How do you dial a phone with a straitjacket on?
Barry, I don't know much about God, and I never was very religious, but you can't help feeling like something is wrong. Like, nobody's driving the train, the system, because too many people are getting sick. And the traffic, it's just jamming up. And even the weather, not so good lately. And Barry, I just don't get it, Barry. I just don't get it.
You don't get it, wimp! Here's what you get! You get $1.59, you go down to the drugstore, buy yourself a pack of razor blades, and slash your wrist, pinhead!
Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. Audio. Radio. D-O. Ray. D-O. Ah. D-O. Ray. D-O. Ah. D-O. Ray. D-O. Ah. D-O. Ray. D-Ah. D-O. Ray. D-Ah. D-Ray. D-Ah. D-Ray. D ah, D ah, Ray, D ah, D ah, Ray, D ah, D O, Ray, D.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune into transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Now to absorb some local color
through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
The police changes at Albany, like many cities, has been wrestling with for the past year, move forward this week as Common Council President Corey Ellis and the Center for Law and Justice's Dr. Alice Green started outlining a new public safety plan for the city.
After I served on the collaborative and hearing from Dr. Green and a number of other community members, the collaborative suggestions were right on. They were correct, but Dr. Green and some of our council members, they were concerned on how those collaboratives would be implemented, what would be the structure for those collaboratives to be implemented, and how we know that they were going to happen since there was no structure put together for that to happen. And Dr. Green came in front of the council and spoke about those matters, stated that she would work with others, myself, we work with Capital District Area Labor Federation. We work with members from ACPAC. We work with NAACP and some other community members to come up with a mission statement. And I'd like Dr. Green to talk about that mission statement once I'm finished. I just want to give the background. And that mission statement reflects what we'd like to see and how we view public safety throughout our city. Being on the council and the legislative body branch of government, I saw that 16 years ago, we instituted a gun violence task force. Gun violence task force had many recommendations that came up with community members, council members. And so that recommendation was sent to the mayor's office, the executive branch of government. And it was left up to the mayor's office and possibly the police department to do something with it. Some things got implemented, most things didn't, and it faded away. It faded away, I believe, because we did not center it under any authority other than the mayor's and the police department. It was not under any independent authority that could follow through on those recommendations and make sure they were implemented. So myself, looking at those things, I thought if the collaboratives came up with this, we have a violence task force right now that the council has put together. We needed an entity or a department to make sure that those recommendations that might come out of the violence task force and the collaborative gets implemented. That's when I began to talk to individuals. We met about a public safety commission. And that part of that is the view came out giving people a voice and how we like to see public safety and not just coming from the top down, but from the bottom up. And that's why, as I always believe, the council members are the voices of their communities. And so I wanted to put something in legislative work that would make sure that the collaborative recommendations were implemented, that the things that we saw continue to hear from folks got implemented, and there was an entity that was going to be independent and look at these matters. As far as the policy, as far as mental health, as far as looking at how do we engage our citizens in a different way, and also how do we make sure that certain calls that our police officers are called to, where we don't need law enforcement, to create another entity of community members to answer some of those calls, so that way there's less engagement. Law enforcement, freeing them up to do other things within our community. So right now we're in the process of crafting this legislation. The mayor's office has reached out to me. We haven't really met on the particulars of what they were viewing this as, but I've been very clear and upfront about the need for the voices of people to be heard and for people to have a legitimate say and how we're going to move forward this public safety commission.
Throughout this whole collaborative process, the Center for Law and Justice, even though we were not on the collaborative, have been working with that body, the working groups and other people to make sure that it included a lot of the issues that we've been dealing with for so long. And I must say that a number of the working groups came up with some terrific ideas. And there was submitted, as you know, to the Common Council of what was considered a plan. But what's been missing from all of this is some kind of vision of what we want our police department, what we want public safety particularly to look like in the city of Albany. We never really talked about that through that whole process. It was just a bunch of suggestions and ideas. But I always say, if you want to really build something and to do something that's transformative, you have to know what it is you want, and you have to have an idea and a vision. So we did add a vision statement, and in that vision statement, we saw a commission of public safety being developed that would separate out law enforcement, even though they would work together at times, would separate out the law enforcement activities from public safety activities that are really important. And again, as you were saying, the community needs to weigh in on all of this. So what we did was issue this vision statement. And that vision statement is based upon four pillars of procedural justice that we think are really important. And I'll just mention them briefly: treating people with dignity and respect, giving citizens a voice during encounters, being open and transparent in decision-making, and conveying trustworthy motives. So the Public Safety Commission would really also ensure the elevation of the concept of community policing into the practice of public safety. And the guiding principle of all of this, of course, is to involve, to center the community's voices here. But the principle of Public Safety Commission, the basic principle is sanctity of life. We believe that it's so important that we adopt this, that life would be a major preserving and protecting life would be a major responsibility for all of us, because human life is so important and public safety is so important.
Yes, as you can see on this chart, we separated it out so it could be visual, as you see the Public Safety Commission, and then you have law enforcement, traffic control, penal code violations, and then community safety and oversight would be the community safety oversight and community oversight. And this commission, I envision, would be chosen, picked by, as we do our CPRB. I don't think I mentioned the CPRB chairperson was involved in this process as well. So we tried to link as many organizations that are dealing with any type of public safety to be a part of this dialogue and this conversation to start off. And so I envision the commission being chosen, these citizens, by the council and by the mayor's office, which will then lead to the title of a head of that will head this department. As we do know, this will be legislation. So we really want to hear your voices, because during legislation, council members will have to weigh in. So, you know, in politics, we start out with something, and we'll end up with something a little different most of the time. But I do envision that if we all work together, and the more input, because this is very important, the more input we get from citizens about what they would like to see, the stronger this this commission or whatever we want, whatever we end up calling it in the end, will be stronger. And so that's why we really would like to hear from
I just want to add that the Center for Law and Justice is developing ways of getting that input. Not only will we be talking to community groups, but people on the street. We'll be using, of course, the internet to get ideas and suggestions. So I think that was one of the things that we thought was missing from the earlier process, is we really didn't get the kind of community input that we wanted. And I think, you know, this effort will be able to do that. And as you see under community safety and oversight, there are so many functions and activities that could be added to this, but that's for the community to help complete this whole chart.
This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
You got to try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great. That place. It's dark and dirty and has like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
I visit with you about the American adventure.
The ultimate reality is in a fiction.
From the pilgrims who came here nearly 3.5 centuries ago until this very day, people have sacrificed. They've contributed. They've built themselves into the fight to be America. It is from them that we receive this land as a legacy.
That necessary fiction. What language will hold still for us when we have, through incredibly, intricately, and beautifully evolved theoretical techniques, what we call thinking now, decimated any possible sense of a bedrock? Fact.
The total influence.
Event.
Economic.
Place.
Political.
Perception.
Even spirit.
Matter itself vanishing under our increasingly brilliant.
If you happen to be rich, should you find you are left by your lover and you moan and you go and fight a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht.
What?
Thank you.
just want to party.
Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes. When Andrew Bain uses jazz to spread a positive message. Mark Battier takes his cues from a work of art. And Sean Moran travels to faraway places. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival Shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Becca Van Kay of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more, Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
The Lethal Nexus, Mass Shootings and Domestic Violence. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. You know, the United States is emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic when the pace of mass shootings gets back to normal. As of June 2nd, there were 244 mass shootings in the U.S. this year. That's 1 to 2 per day. The place and time of the next of these horrific acts is unknown, but that one will happen is a certainty. Then another, and another. One consequence of the number of mass shootings in the U.S. is that we possess data related to the crimes, which show a correlation between mass shooters and domestic violence. A majority of the men who commit mass shootings, and men commit at least 97% of them, also have a history of domestic violence. That knowledge, along with sensible, fully enforced gun control measures, could help stem the epidemic of mass shootings that blights our society and save the lives of women threatened by intimate partner violence. Early in the morning of May 26th, as workers at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority light rail hub prepared trains for the morning commute, employee Samuel Cassidy, 57 years old, arrived. And within an hour, embarked on a shooting rampage, killing 9 of his co-workers before taking his own life. He had three pistols with him, as many as 32 magazines, at least some of which were illegal in California, and dozens more guns at home. The guns he used were all registered and purchased legally. Cecilia Nelms, Cassidy's ex-wife, told the New York Times he said of his co-workers several times, "I wish I could kill them." Nelms and Cassidy divorced in 2004 after 10 years of marriage, during which time Cassidy became increasingly given to fits of rage and uncontrollable anger with her. In 2009, Samuel Cassidy sought a restraining order against an ex-girlfriend. In her court filing, rebutting his accusations, the ex-girlfriend detailed occasions when Cassidy raped her and other times when he attempted to do so. She described episodes of his alcohol-fueled mood swings and violent rages.
The nexus between firearms violence and domestic violence is a particularly lethal one.
That's Julia Weber of the Giffords Law Center, an expert on domestic violence policy. She was speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
We have over a million women alive today in the United States who have been shot or shot at by male partners. We have 600 women a year, at least, who are killed by their intimate partners as a result of firearms violence. That's one about every 14 hours or so.
Giffords is the gun violence prevention organization co-founded by former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who was shot in the head in Tucson while meeting constituents in a shopping center parking lot January 8, 2011. She survived with brain injuries that she continuously works to overcome. Six people were killed by the mass shooter that day. 12 were injured. Julia Weber describes some of the actions that would help stop perpetrators of domestic violence from committing acts of mass violence.
Getting the firearms from someone who currently owns firearms and becomes prohibited. It means ensuring that we have universal background checks so that if someone who is prohibited attempts to purchase firearms or ammunition, that would show up and they would, in fact, be denied. We also need to do a much better job addressing misogyny and domestic violence from the start. That is, recognizing that there's real harm that occurs as a result of gender bias.
A recent study from researchers at the University of Indianapolis found that, quote, male abusers with guns who take the lives of their intimate partners are much more likely to take the lives of others at the same time. The study also summarized earlier findings that, quote, the presence of a firearm in the home has been shown to increase the risk of death in domestic violence situations as much as fivefold, unquote. In 2020, Bloomberg News published a study of 749 mass shootings, finding that 60% of those mass shootings were perpetrated during an act of domestic violence or by a man with a history of domestic violence. Bloomberg also found that mass shootings perpetrated by domestic abusers had a consistently higher body count. The COVID-19 pandemic trapped countless women at home with their abusers, sparking increased calls to domestic violence hotlines. There was also a surge in gun purchases. Small Arms Analytics reported that in a country already awash with over 300 million guns, more than 26 million guns were sold in the U.S. in 2020 alone. Two necessary steps to stop mass shootings are to deny men who beat and abuse women at home the freedom they currently enjoy to buy and own guns, and to take violence against women seriously, strengthening the laws and institutions that protect them from their abusers. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 88 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 65. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. In Greene and Columbia counties.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow,
I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
You'll hear all sorts of creative sounds on the radio on Saturday, June 5th, including at 1 p.m., it's time for the In My Room radio show with Silver Apples, Clara Rauza, Horse Lords among the featured artists today. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, and Godspeed You Black Emperor's radio works are featured. At 4 p.m., we'll hear about the Hudson Valley Radio Relay that's coming up on the WGXC afternoon show, and also how police are changing their radio policies. At 7 p.m. on the All Things Cage show, John Cage reads Mesostick poems on Jasper John, Laura Kuhn from the John Cage Trust. And at 10 p.m., we're live with Stolen from the Wave Farm in Accra for a Saturday night seance on WGXC 90.7 FM.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Like an MVP and a VIP, too.
And she's going to commit to nothing.
Only 30%. An alcoholic is always going to quit when.
Cooking, dinosaurs.
And then tomorrow.
Among some of his many interests.
And, of course, tomorrow never comes. Now, there are two ways. 3110. Mario's calling from Maryland, online 4. Mario, welcome to JSecio Live.
Years of experience, of which he has minimal.
Thanks, Mario.
Assured Guarantee is the global leader in bond insurance.
Oh, you must vote no.
You know, I'm very curious about finding things out.
Legal immigrant.
The Sears Automotive Center knows that when you get your car back from the shop, you don't want to feel like you've been taken for a ride. That's why the Sears Blue Automotive Crew offers
to come to this country.
And that's true across all the different things that
so
I do.
So you start with a question.
Yeah.
You know, right? Because you want to know something mm-hmm. and...
They're just hard-working people.
That certainly are incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I was a physicist, I was interested in the question of where did space and time come from?
Right.
How did the universe begin?
The air ain't working. You know what I'm saying?
My interest in radio goes all the way back to listening to shortwave broadcasts when I was a kid.
It's really complicated stuff because...
If you love wealth greater than liberty...
I really...
It kind of happened in a haphazard way, so it's harder...
Go home from us in peace.
My dad was a member of a national amateur radio group that would find surplus military hardware and kind of apportion it. It was a federal program to give away these like old naval radios and things to kind of hacker clubs who would, you know, rewire them and fix them up and use them for stuff.
The real democratic American idea is not that every man shall be on a level with every other, but that everyone shall have liberty without hindrance.
Go about it in a Santa Claus approach.
So I actually, when I was really young, was like using this giant old tubed, 200-pound naval receiver and listening to all these crazy shortwave stations from all over the world. And the incredible sense of being afloat in this sea of noise that also had the potential to have signal in it was fascinating to me.
Can I give you my suggestion, Steve?
He will join us.
Is two back. It's the final in Detroit. The Tigers beat the Orioles 12-9.
Since that world is invisible, it's incredibly malleable. It's as though the world of radio has no specific body, so it gives us license to turn it into whatever bodies we choose. This project is Radio Silence, and it's a continuation of a bunch of stuff that I've been doing for the last couple of years where I take little bits of live broadcast, sometimes it's TV, sometimes it's radio, and exploit the silences between words to figure out moments when we can cut from one track to another track.
The second stage of the Tour de France.
They have stepped up.
Before!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, it costs you only your commitment to sign up. To join Michael,
once said she hopes that Clarence Thomas's wife feeds him lots of bacon and eggs.
That's the news you need now more than ever. I'm Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Radio.
So in the case of radio silence, taking these 8 AM radio receivers, and each receiver is feeding its signal to a different channel of computer software. The software that I'm making will listen for these pauses, and if the pause seems like it's a pause between clauses, maybe, instead of between words, if it seems long enough to be a significant break in the conversation, then we look around for all the other 7 channels, and we see if any of those channels are also pausing. So if they are, then we cross-cut the two.
Understand.
But also a Brooklyn psychic.
After escaping to the freedom of the West.
So tell me where we are.
To get out of that grip of fear. In fact, I remember one time...
AccuQuote can help you save up to 70% on a term life policy that's right for you.
And part of this piece is not only that we cut from channel to channel to channel and hear one kind of moving track of voice, but all of the other 7 channels who aren't speaking right now are speaking only their negative space. You hear one person talking at a time, kind of like zapping over from speaker to speaker to speaker, but there's this background noise, which is just a little like... I've been doing these things that are very based on speech and how language is changed in a kind of rhetorical model. And when I approached the idea of radio silence, I was actually less interested in the content of the speech and more interested in what I could discover about the talker by listening only to the pauses. The potential of those silences, when used in a context where you actually can hear the words, continues to be a really powerful thing. And in that sense, when we're listening to speech and when we're trying to understand the messages that someone's giving us, those pauses are obviously incredibly important, but they're not important in spite of the language, the words. They're important because of those words.
Disaster, the warfare, really the...
And yet, they want to pass the most onerous gun restrictions under the notion that you can secure
30 weeks
against the importation of guns, or...
Kobe didn't help deliver.
They don't have to pay the wages.
A championship was delivered to Kobe.
Foreign invaders. Now, isn't that absurd?
And his psychiatrist.
He was barred from the contest because of a contract dispute.
These states...
Right. But... Until they take your guns away.
My process of taking apart these conversations and combining them is both an attempt for me to leave behind the idea that there is only one point of view, that there is only one conversation to be had, and at the same time is just kind of a grand experiment in seeing what a survey of the airwaves would lead to. And so I really like the idea that this conversation can be short-circuited, and that if there are 20 different conversations happening in parallel across this spectrum of broadcasters, we can sort of glue them together in a way that is, in a formal sense, is relatively seamless, which is why the silent moments between the words become full of potential. Pauses between speech are a relatively democratizing device. No particular ideology, according to my actual research on this in the last couple of months, has more or less of an advantage. You know, unless you're playing music behind your signal, my system will essentially catch your speech, no matter whether you're on the certain side of any political issue. So in a way, it's my attempt to really remove myself and my own listening habits from this process and develop a new way of listening, which incorporates small, contextless bits of the whole spectrum of broadcast, which is actually associated for me with a whole different kind of long-term project in my own artwork, which is to look at how the idea of broadcasting, the idea of one transmitter and many simultaneous receivers, is still alive and is still driving a lot of the conversations that we have in this very peer-to-peer, digitally networked world that we're in.
Discount all our progress at every turn because of what happened in the early history of this country.
But the, what we really have to wait for...
Because everybody's talking jets.
Okay.
My second comment was that I think they have to lose the case, Obama has to lose the case about the Arizona border issue, because...
Well, I tell you, the one guy from Alabama that he wanted went number 7 to the Raiders.
So personally, I think...
That was Zach Poff and his Radio Silence piece. Poff also has microphones at the bottom of the Wave Farm Pond that you can listen to any time at any WGXC.org page. Just click on Listen and scroll down to find the Pond Station.
I'm George Spencer, and I'm sitting in the middle of Hudson, New York, talking with Jeremy Bullis, Susan Ely, and Ellen Darcy Simpson, and they are going to tell us about the second Saturday Hudson Gallery Crawl. Jeremy, tell us, when is the second Saturday Gallery Crawl?
The Hudson Gallery Crawl is launching on Saturday, June 12th.
So now we're going to hear from Susan Ely.
Jeremy, Ellen, and I got together and decided it would be great to start a Hudson Gallery Crawl in the tradition of gallery walks all over the country in Soho, Bushwick, Lower East Side. We wanted to play off of the dynamic and active art scene here in Hudson. So some of our gallery participants, and they number about 20 in Hudson, and they include our three galleries, September Gallery, Pamela Salisbury Gallery, Carrie Haddad, and
there are also a lot of the businesses in Hudson that are participating. There are so many amazing design stores, fashion boutiques, lifestyle boutiques that are going to stay open late. And anybody that's interested in art, design, culture, looking for a fun night out in a beautiful town, in a beautiful area.
Ellen, tell us a little bit about the stores, the food, some of the design activities that are going on in Hudson and music.
You know, Hudson's known for art, but Hudson's also a great destination for food and music. And one of the fun things that we've lined up are live musicians up and down Warren Street that will be busking. And there'll be jazz and blues, brass bands, swing. And so even just walking down the street will be full of energy, full of music, full of art, and what better could you do on a Saturday night?
I guess we could almost say that after spending a few hours here, you might even decide to come and live here.
That's what I did.
That's what I did.
That's what I'll probably end up doing.
And there are also a couple of other really key anchor organizations in Hudson, like TSL, are going to be having events, movie events. TSL is also a gallery.
Some of the other galleries that are here in Hudson are Elizabeth Moore Fine Art, BCB Art, Slow Art / Limner Gallery, and FRG Objects and Design / Art. Now, this didn't come out of thin air. I know the three of you have been working on this for a long time, and then I think you have some sponsors who've made major contributions in terms of getting this all going.
We've had amazing support from the Hudson Business Coalition, who really helped us connect with all of the small businesses that ultimately decided to participate. And the Hudson Tourism Board has been very supportive as well. And thanks to the Wick Hotel, we also have additional funding, and they've been really supportive and put a lot of energy and funds behind the program as well.
You've gotten amazing cooperation from all kinds of people. Who else has been particularly helpful?
Hudson City Digital, a great company, has devoted their time and energy behind and helped us out learning about spreading the word through digital marketing.
So what are the galleries going to be doing?
Well, they're all going to stay open late, and I know myself, I'll be pouring a lot of Prosecco and opening my doors and showing some amazing art, and I think pretty much that's the plan for all the galleries in Hudson. I think a lot of openings are going to be planned that night.
At Susan Ely Fine Art, we have our opening for our next show, which is featuring two Hudson Valley artists, Lisa Pressman and Jim Napierala. So they'll both be there with lots of colleagues and friends and other artists, and we will also be pouring generously and looking forward to seeing everyone come for that show and the other galleries.
Some of the other galleries that are going to be participating are Caldwell Gallery Hudson, Gallery at 46 Green Street, 510 Warren Street Gallery, Peter Jung Fine Art, and Light Forms Art Center. And Jeremy, what about Window on Hudson?
We're having an opening at Window on Hudson for Hudson resident Chiara, who will be showing her paintings inside in the windows and inside the space, and will also be pouring a lot of Prosecco. And there are, I believe, five other openings happening around town.
So who should come? Sounds like there's something for everybody.
Anybody who loves art, loves design, culture, music, great food, beautiful atmosphere, and really it should be a great night.
Susan, what is a gallery crawl?
A gallery crawl is when a group of galleries get together and decide collectively to stay open late on a particular night, and in our case, it's the second Saturday of every month. And it's to provide the public with a range of options for art visiting. So it can be anything from traditional to very contemporary art. And it's a way to be able to see a lot in one go, as opposed to one here and one there.
So I wonder how far it is from the top of Warren Street, which is the main street, to the bottom of it.
Well, we have galleries starting all the way at the top by the park, by 7th Street, all the way on down to 1st Street. And there are so many galleries that have opened recently. My own gallery just opened a year ago. And we've gotten almost every single gallery on board.
So that's something like 20 galleries in half a mile.
Yes, which is kind of unheard of in any other town or city that I know of, that you have the concentration of galleries that you have here.
And then you have wonderful restaurants mixed in with them and interesting stores and whatnot. So who should come to this?
Well, you know, I just wanted to throw in that one of the really interesting things I think about the diversity of galleries here in Hudson, as Susie mentioned, there is a diversity of style. So traditional, contemporary, conceptual, it's all here. And it's a lot of really well-known artists, as well as emerging local artists. There's a diversity of price points as well. There's a lot of affordable pieces, and there are pieces that go to second market, and they're really important pieces. So really, anybody who loves the idea of original art, either in their homes or looking at it, seeing what's happening on the art scene right now, what's happening in Hudson is it's happening in New York, it's happening everywhere. This is really an amazing art destination.
Would I be right in saying that Hudson has a higher proportion of emerging artists than you're going to find in major markets?
Yeah, a place where artists have congregated from the beginning.
Many of them have their studios and residences here. So when the artists come, then the galleries follow. That's happened in Soho and all of wherever there's an active gallery population. So that's happened here.
And it's easy to get here.
It's a 2-hour trip from New York City. We're close to Boston. We're not far from Albany. We're really